everyone.
Good morning.
So we just sung in hymn number 59, in the second half of verse 3, I therefore every way that's false with all my heart do hate. Now it sounds a little bit like Yoda, but what it's saying is, I hate to do everything that's false. Right? Now, recently in my life I've been having a bit of problems with temptation and sin, and I've been struggling with it, and I'm sure that's something that we all do at all phases in our life in different ways. But I was struggling to find a way to deal with it, because the things that I hated, that's what I found myself doing. And then you read, which is pretty convenient, I was reading in Romans 7, which happened to be the daily readings for the day. Paul has this massive argument with himself, and he goes, the things that I hate, these are the things I find myself doing. So I started thinking about free will. Right? At the beginning, God gave us free will, and I was wondering, do we actually have free will? Right? When we're under Adam, I feel like we're almost stuck. And that's what Paul's going on about. He's saying, we got sin inside of us. You know, I'm stuck there. Do I have free will, or am I just a slave to sin? So this morning I'm going to try and go through a bit of Romans 7. We're going to look at some examples. We're going to look at Adam and Eve. We're going to look at Ruth. We're going to look at a few other verses that are around Romans 7 with the general theme of freedom or free will. So we're going to start at the beginning of the Bible, because it's always a great place to start anything. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2 verse 16. Now what I want you to do is you're going to have a hand in Romans for this part. Put your hand in Romans 7 and then have a hand in about Genesis chapter 2. So I'm going to flick back and forth, because I feel like there's a brilliant example. He's talking about this, the commandment that brings sin. And I want to look into that a little deeper. So have a hand in Romans 7 and a hand in Romans 2:16. In Genesis 2:16. Sorry about that. That's my
plastic hand.
I like to use various objects to put bookmarks in my Bible. Matches make really good bookmarks, by the way. So do licenses. Anyway, Genesis 2:16, it says, then the Lord commanded the man, you may freely eat fruit from every tree of the orchard. Now, I understand that other translations will say that a little bit differently. Like, the word's actually a command that you may eat the fruit. But it seems a bit weird that you'd give a command and be like, you must eat every single one of these fruit. Right? So God is saying, there's this huge range of delicious and beautiful fruit around you. You have the free will to go and eat anyone that you choose. So now we're going to keep your hand in Genesis. We're going to flick across to Romans. Now in Romans 7 verse 8, it says, Romans 7 verse 9, and I was once alive apart from the law. So the first half of Romans 7 9 says, at one stage I was alive apart from the law. Now this is the stage in Genesis 2:16 where it says you've got free range over everything. So now we flip back to Genesis 2:17, and God says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the very day as soon as you eat from it, dying you will die. Right? So he's given this freedom, you may eat from any of the trees, but then comes the command. Right? And this command is, don't eat from this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you eat of it, the day you eat of it, dying you will die. Now, I've got a cool little tangent that I found. I really wanted to talk about it, so I'm just going to tangent for a second here, guys. It says the very day that you eat of it, dying you will die. So at this phase in creation, Adam is not prone to death, right? So Adam has no fear. He's technically going to keep on living and living and living, right? Now, it says in Peter, I'm sure you guys have all heard this, it's like a cliche in Christadelphia, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Now, I take that as, when he says the very day that you eat of it, dying you will die. Now, for a person that's going to live forever, what's the difference between a day and 1,000 years? So that's what he's saying in 2 Peter 3 verse 8. There's no difference. A day is like 1,000 years. Now, people are like, well, God said the very day you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Now, for Adam, how long did Adam live? He lived for 930 years, which is pretty close to 1,000 years, actually. So for Adam, in respect of him as someone that wasn't going to die, that very day he did die. 930 years is like a day for him. And it's like us in the kingdom, 1,000 years is just going to be like a day, because we're going to live forever. So I thought that was a pretty cool tangent. Nothing to do with the egg, so it's kind of cool. Anyway, so the commandment comes. He gets this commandment. So he was free to eat any of the trees. The commandment comes. Now, keep your hand in Genesis. Looking back to Romans. Let's read the second half of Romans 9. It says, but with the coming of the commandment, sin became alive. Sin became alive at the coming of the commandment. The next verse, 10. And I died. So I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life brought death. Now, I want you to imagine in your head, what was the Garden of Eden like? What do you see? You see all these beautiful, edible trees around him, right? Now, what's his focus? What do you see when you look to the middle of the garden? Just don't say it out loud, because I don't think we're allowed to do that in exhortation. But what do you see in the middle of the garden? After you've heard that command, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what do you see in the middle? I think what you probably see is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when God painted the picture for us, in Genesis 2 verse 9, the picture looks like this. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow from the soil, every tree that was pleasing to look at and good for food. So it says he's got these beautiful ones all around. But the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were in the middle of the orchard. There wasn't just one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There were two trees in the middle of the garden, right? Now, it says that the commandment, in Romans 17, the commandment was intended to bring life. When they saw, okay, there's two trees in the middle. Adam, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What should he have seen? Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. If I'm not allowed to eat that one, which one shall I be going for? It's pretty obvious. The commandment is intended to bring Adam life. He should be focusing on the tree of life. But instead, what man does with that, let's see Eve's interpretation of the rules in Genesis 3 verse 3. She says, we're allowed to eat any of these beautiful trees all around us. But concerning the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the orchard, God says not to eat or touch it. She's lost her focus completely. This commandment that was intended to show them to eat the tree of life in the middle, this commandment makes them fully disregard the tree of life that's there. Right? She's completely changed her focus. So the commandment that was intended to help us to be free from sin, the one that was intended to show us life, through humans, it brought about sin. And we all know what happened from there. So, God was trying to deny the tree of knowledge of good and evil to show them the tree of life. But as we know from Adam, and this is a big theme in Romans 5, which is leading up to Romans 7, because of Adam, who ate that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we are all stuck in that boat with him. Right? We are all sinners. We're all trapped in sin. We're all slaves to sin. So what happens when you give man freedom? What happens? When you gave Adam freedom, what did he do? When did the one thing he couldn't do? Right? let's look at the world. What happens when you give the world freedom? We're in this phase of political correctness. Right? Everyone's like, oh, everyone deserves freedom. Everyone can do what they like. You know what? Transgender toilets. Let's make a law that all toilets have to be for transsexuals because people can choose their sex now. You know what? Let's. Anyone that's saying anything bad about homosexuals, get out. They deserve their freedom, right? People are free to do whatever they want. Sexual freedom, it's massive today. Why get married? Right? The world is just trying to make everyone free, and what happens because of that is they're breaking every possible law that God ever established. Alright, back to Romans 7. Now, this one I'm going to do more of a talking about a character who you probably already know quite well. Romans 7 verses 2 and 3 goes, a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if she is joined to another husband while her husband is alive, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she is joined to another man, she is not an adulteress. Okay, when I read things like this in the Bible, I go, who's a lady in the Bible that had a dead husband? Right, so if we want to expose something like this, we've got to go and think about it. And I went straight, my brain goes, oh, Ruth. Right, Ruth was married to this man named Mahlon. Right, so the way I see it, we're not going to turn up Ruth because it will just take too much time. There's all sorts of amazing links from here to Ruth, but we pretty much have to read four chapters to build them all, and this is an exhort, not a Bible class. So the main thing I want you to show you is this. Ruth and Mahlon are bound together, right? Now, the only way that this binding can break, according to Romans 7, is if one of them dies, right? So what happens? Mahlon dies, right? Now, okay, we're going to look up Ruth. Sorry, we have to do it. Ruth chapter, keep your hand in Romans again. Okay, Ruth chapter 2 verse 5. There's so many cool links here, but I'll just show you the coolest one. Ruth chapter 2 verse 5. Boaz is looking out at the harvesting girls, and he looks out and he goes, that lady there, Ruth, to whom does she belong? Now, in that society, in this time, the time of the judges, it's extremely patriarchal, right? A woman either belongs to her father or her husband, right? So Ruth, normally as soon as someone dies, you get married off straight away. Now, Boaz asks the question, who does she belong to? Now, Ruth is probably one of the only women out there that is absolutely free, right? She's left Moab where her father was, and her husband's dead. She is absolutely free, right? Now, one more cool thing. 2 verse 20, let's go over to 2:20. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be rewarded by the Lord because he has shown loyalty to the living and the dead. Now, there's a pattern that we're going to go back to Romans and see, but God is showing loyalty to the living and to the dead. We keep reading here. This man is a close relative of ours. He is our redeemer, right? So, Ruth is bound to Mahlon, her husband. Mahlon dies, broken. She's free now. And what happens after this death? Freedom means she can be bound to Boaz, her redeemer. Okay, now, to finish the pattern, back to Romans 7. Sorry about all the flicking. Now, instead of looking at Ruth and Mahlon and Boaz, I want us to look at us. There's a pattern here. This one is us. We, after Adam, because of what Adam did, we are married to sin, right? We are bound to sin completely. We're stuck here. We are married to sin. Now, there's only one thing that's going to break this. One possible thing. Now, is sin going to die? No, sin's not going to die. So in order to break this, we need to die. And after we die, luckily, God shows loyalty to the living and the dead. Because when we're dead, our Redeemer comes. And our Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Right? So we've got this pattern coming out through Scripture. So, we were linked to Adam, married to sin, but now we've found this freedom through death. And this is, again, what Paul is going on about in this debate. He's saying, I'm linked to sin. I'm trying to do what's good, but I'm stuck here. The flesh has got me bound. I'm enslaved to sin. Read verse 18. It says, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For I want to do the good, but I cannot do it. It's the same for me when I was battling against sin. I wanted to do the right thing, but I just kept finding myself doing it again and again and again. I was linked in with sin. So, we read... let's keep moving. Now, Ruth was caught in a fruitless marriage with Mahlon. Mahlon didn't supply any children for Ruth, right? She was caught in this fruitless marriage. But after his death, we find that she gets bound to Boaz, and the fruit that comes from Boaz happens to actually be Jesus Christ when we follow the pattern. It goes through David and through to Jesus Christ. Alright, so the solution to our problems, here it is. And it's probably quite obvious for us, but we've got to talk about it anyway, of course, because it's awesome. Romans 6 verse 6. He's already told us the solution by the time we get to Romans 7. We know that our old man was crucified with him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. So we thought we had free will before Christ. We thought that we'd been granted freedom, but instead we've become enslaved to sin. Right? We didn't have freedom at all. The world thinks it's got freedom, but it doesn't have freedom at all. We are enslaved. The only way out of it is through dying with Jesus, putting our bodies to death. And it says in verse 7, for someone who has died has been freed from sin. So we thought we had freedom before. This is true freedom. Only through baptism we can find this actual freedom. Now we're free from sin. Alright, so we thought we had it before, but now, oh yeah, this is it. This is the real deal. Romans 8 verse 2 keeps going on. There's a lot of freedom that gets talked about all through these chapters actually. It says, for the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Alright? So, we're free. My problem that I had with sin and temptation was that I was struggling like Paul was. I'm stuck in my sin. But I'd never thought about it in the way that I have absolute freedom to say no. Before I was stuck. Before I was like, well, I've done it before. I'm going to do it again. But now that link has been broken with sin. I'm now bound with Christ. I can look at it with a completely different attitude, with a spiritual attitude. We have the power to say no. You may not think it if you're caught in a carnal mind, but you can do it. It's actually extremely easy through Christ. If we've got any problems, I talked about last time I was here, we talked about how easy it is to find forgiveness in the Lord. Right? We looked at the prodigal son and how he came back and the Lord was so accepting of him. But now we've found a way to deal with that temptation when it comes up again. We just need to look at the true freedom that we've now been given. So, this week, when you're tempted, you've got the freedom to say no.